As we look deeper into this passage in Hebrews, at what Easter means for us, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' death and resurrection, that in that we have salvation. And just seal the truths of this on our hearts this Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. Grian Myers is an AFL player with Geelong. He came in as a junior with a reputation for kicking goals. In fact, he'd kicked 7 in a youth final as a small forward. And he eventually established himself as one of the best players in one of the strongest teams in the AFL. But in his first year with Geelong, establishing himself eventually in the first team, he also coached at under 17 level at Grovedale, a local club. And while telling others what to do, he also improved his own game. He says, "It helps my footy. When I tell them stuff they need to do, I realise I need to do the same things myself to fix my own game. In a way, they're teaching me." Their games were an imitation for Grian Myers, at a lesser level and nowhere near as good, but still an imitation of what he was doing. And as he told them what to do, he was also seeking to copy them as they took his advice. For him, it was a copy of what he should be doing in the games that mattered, that he was paid for, that were at a far higher level than these, far faster, far more skilled. And in Hebrews today, we find that it is comparing a copy to the real thing, an earthly copy that points us to the heavenly things that can bring us to eternal life. But the earthly copy does not achieve this. What does is Jesus' sacrifice, his coming back to life, and all that that has achieved and that we can expect in the future. We start with the comparison between the earthly and the heavenly in 9 verse 23. "It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." The temple and sanctuary that were built then were only copies, made with care to be copies of the sanctuary in heaven. They needed sacrifices to keep them pure, so that praying and sacrificing at the temple was an expression of faithfulness that enabled the bringer to experience something of God because of his faith. However, that is not the sanctuary that Jesus enters. He was not a human priest, had no interest in human sacrifices of worldly things that had to be offered time and again. Instead, he offered himself once for all to die that we might live. Verse 27, "And just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Jesus died to take away our sins, to take the penalty for all the times we go our own way, for all the times we forget, ignore, or reject God and do our own thing, for all the things we do out of selfishness, greed, or pride. He brings forgiveness and restored relationship with God. But that's not the end of the story. What we celebrate today on Easter Sunday is Jesus returning to life. The reason the day we gathered on was changed from the Jewish Sabbath, the Saturday that the Jews gather on, to Sunday, is that it's in Jesus' resurrection we see hope, the certain hope he will return. And when he returns, he will bring salvation for us, for all who believe. That's why, as Christians, we look forward to his return, because he'll bring eternal life and a kingdom of justice. We see the certain hope of this, the reality in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Previously, they just saw a shadow in the land. If we watch someone's shadow, we only see where they blot out light. We do not see the colour or its shape. We infer these by how the light's blotted out. And that describes the Old Testament law. It simply looked forward to Jesus coming, explained the reasons he was needed, offered sacrifices to encourage the people to be faithful to their God as they looked forward to the real salvation. The sacrifices did not remove sins. 10 verse 1 reads, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." The Old Testament sacrifices were simply an annual reminder, offered every year for the people's sins, because they knew they needed God's forgiveness. They looked forward to the real sacrifice that Jesus would make. And further, they had to keep on being offered to remind people of the salvation to come. They were not the sacrifice, but offered to show the promise of the real sacrifice. They were a shadow. Further, what they never claimed to do is change people, to make people perfect before God, to transform us. They could not remove the guilt or make us follow God more. They were there to encourage the people to be faithful and hold to God's promises, trusting and living for him, knowing that he'd bring about his promises, a full and real salvation from sin, a certain hope, the hope we see and get excited by, or should get excited by, as we think of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, as we think of new life, as we think of Jesus returning. As Jesus said, the sacrifices and offerings of animals were not what God desired. They simply pointed people to what was to come, the real offering, the one who came to fulfill God's will, to act in faithfulness and obedience to him. Verse 7 reads, "Then I said, 'Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made.' Then he said, 'Here I am, I've come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. in both being fully faithful to God by filling God's will, even when it would cost Jesus. He ushered in the new and better covenant, the new and better agreement with God, where not only are we forgiven our sins, but more than that, we're transformed by God, so we can live as holy people in his kingdom. Now, being holy, living, trying to represent God's character, is crucial to God forming a kingdom of justice. A kingdom where there's no more death, mourning, crying or pain. Because for such a kingdom to exist, the people in it have to want to follow Jesus, to imitate God's, Jesus' character, have to want to be holy. And doing that is made possible by Jesus dying and rising again, by Jesus being fully faithful to God. Verse 10. And by that will, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. It's by the sacrifice of Jesus that we're made holy. Now, there's obviously a tension here. We're not perfect. If you're anything like me, you're not perfect. You still act out of selfishness, greed, or pride. And if you seriously tell me you're perfect, I may do you a favour and take a leaf out of Spurgeon's book and look for the nearest milk container to pour over you, just to demonstrate. And see how you react. We all fall short. That's why Jesus died. We rely on his righteousness. That's why we appear holy before God. But are still being transformed, still being made holy, while the Spirit in us is still cleansing us, making us holy. And we have an active part in this. We have to remember to represent God, to show the mercy and love that he showed us in Jesus. We're to be his friends, his family, his representatives in the world. Jesus goes into the inner temple before God so we can know God. But we must be transformed. Verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, there are several elements here. Jesus is at the right hand of God, the position of power, and is waiting for his kingdom to be in place, for his enemies to be subjugated and destroyed, for justice to come. This is almost treated as an assumption. This will happen, as if it does not need saying. Yet in the world today, we do not see justice. We can point to so many things. And we look forward to justice coming, to people receiving justice, which happens some of the time. One of the recent news stories was an Australian cafe owner in Canada importing Vegemite. And Vegemite got barred because of Canadian health guidelines to do with vitamin B. After he was referred to the government officials enforcing food lines by local competitors, despite their own health professionals confirming that it did not cause issues, given the amounts in Vegemite. At the same time, Amundsen was still allowed to import, selling Vegemite at 3 times the price. Exactly the same product, it reeked of injustice. The cafe owner was initially told to destroy $8,000 worth of Vegemite. But after Australian government intervention, there's been some justice. He is now allowed to sell it while they review and work out any necessary labelling. Hopefully the same rules will be applied to all, including Amazon. There's proper justice. But when we hear of wrongdoing, when we hear of unfairness, we're not happy about it. This is minor. It's about importing food. And sometimes there are real reasons for bans, although we want the rules to apply to all, for justice to reign. Yet, in God's kingdom, for that to be the case, those who do not want to be holy, do not want to take on the character of God, and therefore oppose Jesus, will have judgment applied. It should be a warning for any of us that do not yet know God, that it's something we need to look at and critically take on in our lives, that we have a choice to make. A choice. Will we represent God? Did Jesus really die for us? But what we're celebrating today is that he did. And for those of us who know God, seeking to be holy is not an optional extra, not something just for pastors or ministers of the word. All of us need to grow in the character of God, in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to represent the character of God to those around us, looking ahead to the kingdom of God, which we look so much forward to when Jesus returns, where all of us will relate, seeking to show the character of God to each other, because that's what makes the kingdom such a great place to be. And the Spirit that God gives us speaks of this in verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." The Spirit speaks through the Scriptures, in our hearts, in our minds, of the renewed relationship with God, of us being able to know what God wants, because he puts God's law into our hearts and minds, so we know how to follow him, how to represent him in this world. We're to represent God and be holy. But secondly, we have assurance of the forgiveness of sins. Verse 17. Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." For those who don't know God, anyone who doesn't, there's the promise of forgiveness in coming to him, in knowing him. for those of us who do, that's what we celebrate today. We are forgiven. We have new life. That's what Easter Sunday is about. The new life we have already in Jesus, and the new life we look forward to when Jesus returns. But because Jesus is risen, our sins are forgiven. And while when we do fall short of the glory of God, we need to change. We do have the assurance of forgiveness. We should not think we're still guilty before God. We should not worry about our past, but look forward, seeking to represent him. This may mean changing, but we're not to live in guilt. And this isn't always easy. I don't always find it easy. All of us make mistakes and suffer consequences. But in doing that, we need to remember we're forgiven. No guilt remains. Jesus died once for all. So we're forgiven and share new life with him. So we can look forward to his return with confidence, growing with him. Growing into his kingdom and his character. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died that we might live. And we thank you for all that he brings in his resurrection. The gift of your spirit. The fact that we have relationship with you. And that we can look forward with certainty to his return. Help us to live out of this. Jesus' name. Amen.